Lucinda, you want to introduce her?
Yeah,
or
yes,
you?
I do.
Someone who needs an introduction.
For those who can
deserves an introduction.
This is Dr. Christiana Fellbaum. She is now the principal investigator of the WordNet project. This is her book. This is real worth reading, but it's old. There is really fantastic things which have happened. Because of WordNet has moved from a descriptive document to something which has now a formal structure and is logically coherent and consistent. It is the key that allows us to move from the ambiguous word stem space that we now use in search engines to a real semantic space. It is the foundation of our English language, and as she will show, it's now being copied by people using other languages as well. I introduce Dr. Fellbaum.
Thank you, Lucian. You are truly among the very few people who have made their way all the way through the book. But I will give you a short introduction to WordNet. Let me say by way of background, historical background and my own background, that I was trained as a linguist and a psychologist. And the motivation for WordNet, which originated with George Miller, a very distinguished psycholinguist, was to explore how the human mind stores knowledge about the tens of thousands of concepts that we all know, the concepts and the words associated with them. So it started as a purely psychological experiment. And we never intended to become famous. Actually, we are neither. But we are being used, WordNet is being used in many applications, including search engines such as Google. And I think you will see why it can be useful for these purposes that Lucian articulated, namely organization of knowledge and data. So what is WordNet? Well, very simply put, it's a large lexical database, or even more simply put, an electronic dictionary. That's the way we like to think about it. It includes most, if not just about all, English nouns, verbs, adjectives, and adverbs. So only what linguists call content words, not what we call function words like prepositions, on or at, but words that convey real semantic meaning or meat. The electronic format of WordNet makes it possible to manipulate it and use it automatically. So computers can use WordNet as well as people. And it is already used in many, many applications, such as document retrieval and sorting, also machine translation, perhaps the most ambitious, the most difficult application. Is there a question? Or? Oh, I see. Okay. So you may say, okay, what's the big deal about WordNet? Well, the big deal really was the insight that goes back mostly to George Miller, that we need to move away from the traditional paper dictionaries, which until about 20 years ago were the source for semantic information, for meaning about words and the concepts that the words express. Traditional dictionaries, of course, are organized necessarily alphabetically, otherwise we couldn't find anything in them. So words are grouped together on the same page or on consecutive pages, not by meaning, but by their spelling, or at best by their phonetic, their sound properties. By contrast, WordNet is organized purely by meaning. So the words you find next to each other or near each other in WordNet are not related by sound, or if so, it's accidental, but they're related by meaning. So the users, and the human users, and of course the computer, can look in WordNet, browse WordNet, and find words that are meaningfully related, or related to a keyword, a query, that a user may type in a search engine, for example. So you may say, aha, WordNet is like a thesaurus, and yes, to some extent it is. It is a kind of super thesaurus. It's richer and more explicit in its structure than a thesaurus, but the basic idea is very similar. So the design of WordNet is as follows. The overall desire is to map words onto concepts. When you start doing this, you realize very quickly that in all natural languages, the word-to-concept mappings are many-to-many. So on the one hand, a given concept can be expressed by more than one words in many cases. This is the phenomenon that we all know as synonymy. So I give you two examples for what we call synonym sets or synsets in WordNet. One for a noun, where you have three synonymous words, car, auto, automobile, and one for a verb, synset, close and shut. These synonyms are not always interchangeable in all contexts. So it would be a little bit odd to say, I need to buy a new automobile. Nevertheless, whereas it would be natural to say, I need to buy a new car. Nevertheless, the same concept is referred to, and even if I said, I need to buy a new automobile, you would know what I meant, because it's the same entity that is expressed by all three words. On the other hand, one word can express many concepts. So the one-to-many mapping also goes the other way around. This is the phenomenon known as polysemy. Here's a very, very small example of polysemy. The word club has many meanings. Three of them are shown here in the three different synsets. Club, a stick, as in, say, a baseball club. Club, as in a social a place where you meet other people or get together. Or nightclub. And club as a playing card. You can see these three meanings are very, very different, right? Nevertheless, the English language uses the same word, club, to express all three concepts. An added problem with natural language, or challenge for our purposes, is that the words we use most frequently are also the ones that are most polysemous. It seems almost perverse. Right? If you designed a language, you might say, let's make it a nice one-to-one mapping so that no ambiguity can arise for human speakers as well as for machines. But human language doesn't work so neatly, makes life interesting. So it's a fact that the words, the strings of letters that you can look up in a corpus of text and you can count how many times they occur, also have the most meanings in any dictionary, not just WordNet, but any tradition. So the challenge of WordNet is that it wants to harness both these many-to-many mappings, synonymy, the fact that one concept can have many words that express it, and polysemy, the fact that one word can express many distinct concepts. So WordNet wants to represent words and concepts unambiguously for both human and machine use. And moreover, it wants to meaningfully relate these words and concepts in a structure that is not only intuitive for human users, and as I said at the very beginning, perhaps emulates the way humans store knowledge about words and concepts, but it is also machine tractable. WordNet's building blocks, the units, are not single words, as in standard paper dictionaries, but sets of synonyms, synsets. I already showed you a few. Here are a few more. A verb synonym set, hit or beat. An adjective synonym set, big and large. And a noun, another noun synset, consisting of cue and line. So each concept, by definition, expresses a distinct concept. Now, with the help from government agency, including John Prangy's Acquaint program, we were able to develop WordNet and build it up to a very, very large database. And currently, it includes almost 120,000 of these synsets or concepts. And you may think that's a lot. Yes, it is a lot. But an educated speaker, user of the English language knows about 40,000 to 60,000 words that he uses every day, and many more that he's able to recognize, at least, if not use productively, and many more concepts expressed by these words. So the order of magnitude seems quite staggering, but in fact it is not. So again, as I said, WordNet stores and allows one to retrieve all concepts that a given word can express, and conversely, all words that express a given concept. But there's more. The first part would be just a very nice dictionary, but there is much more, because the words and the concepts and the synsets are interrelated in terms of meaning-based, meaningful relations. So as a result, you get a hyperdimensional structure, or a graph structure if you want, which is a semantic network, as opposed to the flat list of words that traditional dictionaries, paper dictionaries, would give you. So let me give you a few simple examples. The major or most frequent relation among noun synsets is one of hyperonymy or hyponymy or superordinate and subordinate relation that Aristotle already talked about. So this is not one that we invented, which relates general to more specific concepts. So here's a tiny cutout from WordNet. At the top of this tree, of this hierarchy, this taxonomic hierarchy, you have a synset vehicle. I just gave it a single member to make things a little easier. Then it has daughters, if you want, subordinate, more specific synsets. One referring to car, automobile. Another one referring to expressed by bike or bicycle. And these in turn have more specific, related to more specific concepts, such as convertible and SUV for car and automobile, or mountain bike for bike and bicycle. So you get the general idea. This is just, as I said, a very small cutout. There are thousands and thousands of such hierarchies in WordNet among the nouns, with the result that the nouns are almost all interrelated in terms of these trees. The structure also lets you to make inferences or retrieve transitive relations. So by virtue of the car, of the fact that you know a car is a kind of vehicle, car being a subordinate of vehicle, and the fact that SUV is a kind of car, you also know that an SUV is a kind of vehicle. In other words, you can traverse levels of the hierarchy. Another major relation, which again is one that we stole from Aristotle and applied, is meronymy, or its inverse side, holonymy, which is the part-whole relationship. Again, a very simple example, a cutout. If you take the synset car, automobile, it has an engine. So in this case, the pointer to the lower level doesn't mean is a kind of, but or is instantiated by, but rather is a, has as its part, engine. And engine in turn has parts like spark plug and cylinder. So again, this is a very small cutout. You have to imagine this multiplied over many, many synsets and a much larger tree, much deeper tree. Again, inheritance is possible, and you can, the computer can extract statements involving inheritance. If you know that the car has an engine, and if you know that an engine has spark plugs, you also know that a car has spark plugs. So very simple, very clean, but again, if you imagine it on a large scale, very efficient. The same is true for similar relations hold among verbs, verb synsets that express actions and events or states. These are related by a manner relation. So you have a superordinate synset that can be that's filled by very general notion communicate, a more specific one talk, and in turns more specific ones like stammer. Again, just a very small cutout. Now, it turns out that with these relations that I mentioned so far, you can actually connect the entire English lexicon. This is not something that we were sure of when we started out. We said this is just a model, and let's see whether we can really push this through the entire lexicon of English. And we're very pleased to see that it actually works, that there are a few more relations which I'm withholding and for which you have to read the book. but you can actually organize the entire lexicon that way, and not only the English lexicon. So let me say a few more things about verbs. The meaning or the semantics of events which are expressed in the language by verbs are very different from the meanings of entities which are expressed by nouns. So WordNet has different relations for verbs than it has for nouns. Very important, verbs we have temporal or events that the verbs refer to have temporal properties. So things come before or after or overlap in time. Think of things like buy and pay. When you buy something, it entails that you're paying for it, right? But it's not simultaneously. Buying process also involves choosing, selecting, maybe trying on if it's a piece of clothing, trying out if it's a gadget. Nevertheless, the two are very closely related in terms of a sequential sequence. So all this has to be captured in the relations, which, as I said, I wasn't going to go into. I don't have time to go into, but invite you to learn more about. So these relations among the synsets create this large interconnected semantic network. And you can now reconsider the notions of polysemy and synonymy, especially polysemy that I alluded to earlier. Different meanings of polysemous words are members of different synsets, so you can redefine polysemy that way, and are also related in turn to different synsets and occupy different locations in this gigantic network. So take another polysemous word like stock, which actually has many, many more meanings than the two I'm giving here. One sense of stock occurs with the synonym broth, and it has a superordinate soup or food or dish, whatever level you're looking at. Another concept also expressed by the word stock has the synonym breed, as in livestock, and that has the superordinate variety. So the superordinate relation shows you the distinction, which is also already, of course, shown by the synonyms. And in turn, these synsets are linked to other synsets by the various relations, including part-whole relations. So a word's meaning can be defined in terms of its position in the network. The club we looked at earlier, like a nightclub or a golf club, is a kind of an association that's a superordinate and has members, that's its part synset. The other kind of club is a kind of stick, and it may be part of a game, such as baseball. Now, nicely, you can also measure the relatedness of words and concepts by, and you can quantify it by counting the distance in WordNet, by seeing how many levels you have to traverse, or how many relations you have to travel along before you relate two different kinds of concepts. So let me give you a quick example. You can say, how closely related are zebra and horse? Now, intuitively, we would all say, well, they're pretty closely related, right? But WordNet will give you not only the same answer, but it can quantify it and give you a very precise answer and say they are indeed very closely related because both of them have the same superordinate synset, equine, which is, of course, a biological term, but it's a horse-like animal. Right? Then you say, okay, what about horse in the sense of the sawhorse and horse, the gymnastic horse? Are those related? Well, again, intuitively, you might say, eh, not really. And indeed, WordNet says, well, yes, they are related, but much less so than zebra and horse, because if you look at their location in the network, you will find eventually that they have a common shared superordinate, which is artifact, but it's several levels up, 4 to 5 levels up. So again, you can quantify the similarity, which is the fact that they're both artifacts, but they're really not very close. Finally, what about zebra and gymnastic horse? Well, they're completely unrelated because the trees that contain them never intersect. And again, this agrees with our intuition about these words and concepts. So WordNet has been used for word sense disambiguation, which is a major, if not the major, problem in natural language processing. I hope to have conveyed to you that this polysemy and synonymy phenomena really do pose a problem for associating words and concepts on a one-to-one, on an unambiguous way. So WordNet can help here. The assumption that many people who use WordNet make is that words in a context, either a phrase, a very local context, or a sentence, a larger context, or even a discourse, a text, a very large context, are semantically related. People talk or write about concepts that have to do with each other. So based on that assumption, you can say, well, horse in the neighborhood of zebra, somewhere in the same text, is likely to mean equine, but in the neighborhood of gym, it is likely to mean gymnastics. So if you want to disambiguate horse in the context of zebra, you look for all the WordNet links or paths from zebra to horse, and the shortest one is likely to give you the correct sense of horse, which is equine. As we saw, the path indeed is very short. You can also take advantage of all the WordNet classes, the hierarchies, these taxonomic trees I showed earlier. So run, if you want to find out which meaning of run is intended in a given context, run has about 50 meanings, 60 meanings, very, very polysemous verb. You will find that it occurs in the neighborhood of nouns that are hyponyms or subordinates of office, mayor, congressman, president. You find that kind of run, you know it means compete, run for office. If you look for another run, subscript 2, run, and that occurs with words that are related to machines, such as computer, washer, printing press, engine, you can guess, and WordNet will tell you, in terms of its structure, that it is likely to be the run meaning operate. WordNet also has a topical or domain organization, because the hierarchical organization leaves many concepts that are in fact related unconnected. So we also have a link that goes beyond the trees that I showed you, and that organizes concepts, synsets, and words in terms of the membership of a topic or of a domain. So an example is these three synsets I give you here: contraindication, surgery, physician, all linked to medicine. They would not be linked simply by the part of or is a kind of relationship. Now, WordNet is customizable, so a user can define new topics, and people have in fact done that, because you can easily imagine that there's an infinite number of topics, and whatever your interest is, you can make a very coarse-grained topic, such as medicine, or a very fine-grained topic, such as brain surgery. The topics themselves should be defined in terms of WordNet synsets, in terms of these concepts, so that the topics, as defined by the user, again are integrated into WordNet and are linked and are part of the network. Current and future work, actually I didn't say this, but we've been going at this for 20 years now, so and we still have many, many more plans. One is to increase the density of WordNet. The network is in fact rather sparse, and as you can see, or I hope I have convinced you of, to make it useful, you want as many relations, links, among the different concepts as possible. So we need not only more links, but also new relations. The one relation that my philosopher friends have been bugging me about, see, is what they call a role relation. Right now in WordNet, both poodle and pet are types of kinds of animals, but that's not really quite right, because a poodle is a kind of animal, that's correct, but a pet isn't really a kind of animal in the same sense that a poodle is a kind of animal. A pet is really a role that a dog can play, right? A poodle can but must not be a pet, but a poodle must be a dog. So one relation is necessarily true, and the other relation is not necessarily true. The role relation is not. So we would like to distinguish that, And we think that would be very useful for not only connecting WordNet more densely, but also in a more sophisticated way. We have also, I have to finish soon, work just completed, again sponsored by the ADA Acquaint program, where we manually, by hand, link nouns, verbs, and adjectives that occur in WordNet's definitions to the appropriate synset. I haven't told you about WordNet's definition, but in addition to the synonyms, each unit, each synset, also occur, includes a very short definition. So the definition for bank, financial institutions that accepts deposits, and another sense is bank as in sloping land. So what we have done by hand is take all these words, nouns, verbs, adjectives, and adverbs in the definition and link them to the appropriate synsets. So you can see right away that this increases the density of WordNet, makes it a closed, but it keeps it a closed system. It makes the synsets more clear. It clarifies what their meanings are in case somebody doesn't really know what a bank is and looks up its relations. He or she can also look at the definitions. And importantly, all the glosses that you now have that are disambiguated create a corpus, a text, a set of sentences where each word has been word sense disambiguated. And that is useful for applications that won't have time to go into, but maybe that will be spoken about later. My time is almost up, so let me stop here and tell you that WordNet is freely and publicly available. You can download it at the following website, or in fact, you can just Google WordNet and you come to our website. We have just come out with WordNet, new version of WordNet 3.0, so that matches nicely with what was said earlier. We seem to be on the same track. Please use it if you find it useful, if you think it could improve, needs features that you might find useful. We are always very eager to hear from our users. We have thousands of users. We actually have about 7,000 downloads a day. Many are just people who look once and say, this isn't for me. But we do have thousands of users all over the world who do use WordNet, including the large search engines like Google. If you type define and then a word into Google, you get the WordNet definition. So Google uses a WordNet as the lexical resource for its definition program. And one thing I do want to say, WordNet has become a bit of an epidemic. It has spread all over the globe, and people are building WordNets for over 40 languages, including some that are not genetically related, not historically related, like, say, Latin and French, but also languages that are genetically or typologically unrelated. So Estonian and Finnish, for example, are languages that are completely different from English, and, of course, Arabic and Basque are. We also have some dead languages, like Sanskrit and Latin. People have built WordNets in these languages just to capture the meaning relations of these languages. And I just came back 2 days ago from a trip to Japan where we had a meeting of Asian WordNet, where people from Bhutan and Nepal and Laos and Cambodia got together and said, we want to build WordNets in our languages. So you can see that for machine translation, for information retrieval, document retrieval, document searching and sorting and organization, the multilingual facilities, of course, are enormously powerful and very useful. So again, there is a website associated with the Global WordNet. So that's all I wanted to say. If you have any questions other than today, please write to me. Yes, Lucian.
Processes emailed me are instances of verbs that are in a network that they have the holonymic and meronymic relationships, mm-hmm. which is very different from nouns, which are hypernyms and hypernyms. Process is a part, says is part of relationships, but verbs.
Yes, that's right. I tried to allude to that very briefly when I gave the example of buy and pay. So paying is a part of buying, of the event of buying, otherwise it would be stealing. But it is not, it doesn't have the same temporal extent. As I said, first you choose something, there are many other events involved, and then you pay for it. There are also cases where the temporal overlap is partial, so you have things like my favorite example is snore and sleep. When you snore, you necessarily sleep, unless you have a snoring sound in, as a sign of contempt or boredom, but usually you sleep. Nevertheless, you can continue to sleep without snoring, hopefully so. So you can see that and snoring isn't necessarily a part of sleeping, whereas paying is necessarily a part of buying. So these are two very short examples where you have relations among sub-events of a major event, but of two different kinds. Yes. What formal languages is WordNet available in? Different ones. We have a prologue version, C++. There's also a plain text file. If you look at the website, you can download for several systems. We also have it for Linux, we have it for Mac, we have it for PCs. Oh, sorry. I said Prolog is one of them, yeah. Yeah, no, I realized that. I just added that, yeah. Right. C++ is the primary one. Sorry, I thought I said that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Question?
I was just wondering, are you planning to sort of tap into sort of Tom Gruber's kind of idea of a tag commons, kind of getting the whole world contributing and expanding to WordNet, and you be the gardener kind of to keep it organized?
We've thought about this. So via a wiki, for example, have WordNet. And some people who have downloaded WordNet and building their own WordNets or WordNetlets, smaller parts thereof, are trying to do that. We decided that we didn't really trust the user out there. And also, it's just logistically very difficult to be, as you put it, the guardian. However, we, in work that I cannot report on today, but you can find on my website, we have made an experiment where we tried to connect WordNet completely, every synset to every synset, by using a relation that we call evocation. We presented human raters with an interface and a sliding scale from 0 to 100. We presented them with one synset in WordNet, one concept, and then shortly thereafter with a second, and we said, how strongly does this concept evoke a second, rate on a scale from 0 to 100? And we presented a small subset of WordNet, but all possible combinations. So we collected very rich data. In 2/3 of the cases, the relation is zero, the evocation is zero, because things like microphone and, a cuff have nothing to do with each other. But in 1/3 of the cases, there is a relation. In this case, it's quantified because the raters gave us a precise number. It is also, the arcs are also directed. So, for example, dollar evokes green, but green does not evoke dollar as strongly. And they are across all parts of speech, as I said, and across all links. So this is work we hope to expand, and we hope to bootstrap a machine learning system that extrapolates the human intuitions. Very quick. I can send you the paper if you're interested.
With regard to the global WordNet, how similar are the concept sets and relation sets?
Did you hear the question? Yeah, how similar are the concepts in the global WordNet? It depends. Predictably, the languages that are closer related, so Dutch and English, for example, or German and English, also express very similar concepts and can be related in similar ways. And again, predictably, languages like Kannada or Tamil, South Indian languages, are quite different. Cultural factors play into it. So, for example, in one Indian language, you have to specify when you move for the verb, any kind of motion verb that involves a path, whether you're going counterclockwise or clockwise, which I think has to do with religion. temple. And but also relations are different. So, for example, even in a similar language like German or Dutch, most profession nouns such as teacher, speaker, doctor have male and female distinctions, two words. So here we have something that is language internal, a relation, maps to, in this case, a single English concept. So it involves a lot of rethinking and reorganizing, but the network structure can apply and does apply the basic design to all of the languages.
Let's applaud Christiane.
Let me assure you, Tom, we'll have about 45 minutes for questions when we go to the panel, but I think we need to move on. Wanted to call attention to the fact the last question was from George Strawn, the CIO of the National Science Foundation that I introduced at the beginning of the program, and the co-chair of the Best Practices Committee to which SciCop reports. George, welcome. Lucien, would you want to introduce